prayers. And I would please continue to ask to remember me before I stand before you. What's on my mind this morning is, if you will, just kind of go with me and think of, what if in this country it was illegal to be a Christian? What if we could be thrown into prison for even having a Bible? What if we were put on trial? Here's the main question I want to ask. Would there be enough evidence in our life, not by what we confess, but enough evidence in our life to convict us? I shudder to think, is there enough evidence? Do I have enough? Have I walked with God enough that somebody would find me guilty of that? And if you don't feel that way, it's one of two things. Either you've walked a good life, you have lived a good life, or you're living in denial. Have we walked with God? Have we separated ourselves from this world enough? That's what's on my mind is, you know, we are the called out. God has called us. If He has touched and tendered your heart and let you know His love, then we have been called out. We've been called out of that darkness into His light because He is the light that we can see. You know, if you were walking outside at night and it's dark, well, you can't see unless there's like some moonlight, you have a flashlight or lantern or something. You have to have that light to be able to see. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, the Lord is our light in this life. And He will continue to be the light forever. But we are the called out. You know, God has done so much for us. If you wouldn't mind turning with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I'm just going to kind of get right in there just in the interest of time. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, Peter is talking about we are a chosen people because we were chosen in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now, it's only because of His light and His Spirit within us that we understand that. A lot of people think that you have to be good enough, you have to do enough, you have to hold out faithful to the end to receive that. And some people think just by preaching the gospel that we receive that light. It's by the voice of the Son of God. That is the only way we know Him. That is the only way we are called out, is by God. He has to do the work first. Now, because we are the called out, because we have been called, that's when we should do our good works. That's when we should walk in His ways. That's when we should read His word. But He says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, some people might consider us peculiar, but not in the sense this is talking about. It just means a special, a particular people. Because God has always had that particular people, the ones that He is going to call out, the ones He has called out, the ones He's called out beforehand. You know, it's like when He called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He called them out. He said, I will build a nation unto you. Well, that's God's people. He is calling them out. I mean, I love I don't have the time to go through every single example that we have in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, of the people being called out. We're supposed to be separated. We're supposed to be, I'm not calling for segregation here. I'm just saying we're supposed to separate ourselves from the ungodliness, from the evil of this world. And that's another point I have to make in 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." See what I'm... Now you really have to study, and you really have to look at the words to see. Because later, you know, John calls the... God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What world is he talking about? Well, we understand it's the called out. It's the particular people. It's that holy nation unto him. That's the world that he so loved. The world that he's referring to now is the world of the ungodly, of this sin-cursed earth. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, if that doesn't mean, if that doesn't tell you that we should be separating ourselves from this, if we shouldn't be apart from this, abstaining from the evil, then I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, somebody maybe more elaborate could tell you and explain it to you better, but I mean, it seems pretty clear here to me. And in verse 17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That means we abide with him forever. And that's our hope. That's our hope that one day he's going to come back, he's going to take us home, and we're going to be with him forever. What a glorious hope we have. What a blessing it is to be the called out, to be the ones that we know this. So we shouldn't love not the world. You know, in Romans, it talks about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I pretty much butchered that one, I'm sorry. But we're supposed to be apart from this world. That's what I was asking the question before. Would there be enough evidence to convict us? Can somebody look down our life or see us now and see there's a difference? There's something different about that person. I guarantee you, if you're walking with God, people are going to take notice. Now, sometimes it may not be the people you want to take notice, because in this life, we will have tribulation. Sometimes we may have to suffer persecution. But I fear this country has not seen enough of it. I know I haven't. I know there's been several times that my friends may not have been, you know, that's not the cool thing to do, to be reading the Bible and stuff like that. And I've shunned away from it. Yes, I'll admit that. I have done that. That's not good. Like I said, is there enough evidence? Sometimes I don't think there is. But I do know that the Lord is my Savior. He has touched and tendered my heart. I can't tell you the time or the place or exactly when it happened, but I know it's happened. Because every time that I have sinned and I am brought to know that I have sinned, the Spirit within me is grieved. And I feel it. And I understand I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be different. I'm supposed to set myself aside of this. So be not conformed to this world. Try not to be like the world. If we're acting like the world, if we smell like the world, what's the difference? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be that peculiar people, the called out. I'd like to go now to 2 Timothy 2:19. Like I said, this world is not a friend to grace. It's not a friend to us when we're walking the way we should. You know, the Lord Jesus was perfect. When he came to this earth, he was perfect. He is perfect. Excuse me. He is perfect. When he came to this world, he is perfect. There was no guile found in his mouth. He did absolutely nothing wrong. But still, people sought to kill him. People just didn't care for him, didn't listen to his word, didn't listen to his word. They had nothing for him. So we know we're not perfect, but Christ is our great example, and that's what we should strive for every single day. If we're acting like Christ, if we're walking like Christ, we're going to see some opposition. Not from God. The Lord will be helpful. The Lord will help us. And the Lord's going to help us when we stay faithful to him. But because we live in this fallen world and we have troubles, and a lot of times there's a lot of doubt put on our minds, and Satan loves to just get in there and whisper a lot of doubtful words to us. You know, like I was talking about earlier, have I done enough, you know, to be called a saint of God? Have I done enough to be among the ranks of the fallen, of the old, you know? But this scripture right here, 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, doesn't matter what it is, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, when we build foundations, sometimes we might do something wrong. It might crumble, it might fall. It may not hold up. Brothers and sisters, it says, the foundation of God standeth sure. That means it is sure. And there's nothing better that you can build on than the solid rock of Jesus Christ. But we have, knowing this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It's not up in the air. It's not him wringing his hands, wondering if we're going to hold out to the end. No, he knows who's his. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, if you are going to stand up, if we're going to stand with God, if we're going to be a front to this cursed world, if we're going to stand out, be apart from this world, we have to depart from iniquity. We have to separate ourselves from sin. Now, brothers and sisters, I know this side of glory, we will never be free of sin. But that's our mark. That's what we should be striving for. Is to be without sin. Be like Christ. That's what Christian is supposed to be. Christ-like. But so often, these people that wear the name Christian are just, it's not Christ at all. But we are the called out. We are supposed to be separated from this world. Be different. I know sometimes, especially in school, the kids, they want to fit in. We want to do right. We want to be with our friends. Brothers and sisters, sometimes it's good to stand out. But we should be that different people. We should have, and if you don't know how to be different, there's nothing better than this right here. God's word is the best thing that we can use to help us to be different. It's full of examples of how God's people have been different and were blessed. Now, the Apostle Paul suffered great. There's a lot of things that Paul went through in the service of God. But, you know, he said he could be content because God's grace and mercy is sufficient. Brothers and sisters, he'll never forsake us and never leave us. We cling to him more tightly. He's the best one we can have. And like I said, there's no foundation better to build upon. But our foundation will be weak if we're not different. If we cling too much to this world, we're not fully in it. And we can vary and waver brothers and sisters, God is our strong and mighty tower. He's never wavered. He's never lost anything. I mean, if I was going to pick a side, you know, like out on the playground or whatever, you want to pick a side, which team you're going to be on. Well, you have a team over here that's absolutely never lost, can't lose. But you have this team that, they may win every once in a while. They may get a win. No. Yeah, you want to be with the winning side. Well, brothers and sisters, God's already won. He has won, will win every single battle. There's nothing he's going to lose. So why would we not want to be with that band? Why would we not want to be with the peculiar people, that nation unto God? I guess I want to close out. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 2. He said, in the interest of time, I've been kind of jumping around and trying to get in the middle of it, but I don't want to take up too much time and just want to have what the Lord has put upon my mind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Is that it? No, I'm in 1 Thessalonians. It helps if you're in the right book. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Brothers and sisters, stand fast. There's nothing better that we can stand upon than the foundation of God. Let's hold fast. Let's be faithful. Let's try and hold on. Let's try to be strong in the Lord. I know a lot of times we falter. A lot of times I fail. But brothers and sisters, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Like I said, He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. He's the best friend to have. And thank you.